Hi everyone, I'm Tara Lawn. Welcome to Time Out with Tinseltown Mom. Today's episode is brought to you by my new online accessory shop for women, Beyond Measure. You are loved beyond measure by our creator, so my shop strives to bring that hope-filled message through inspirational and faith-based products. Every item is handmade and customized for you. To shop for yourself, or for mom for Mother's Day, go to beyondmeasure.shop. Again, that's beyondmeasure.shop. It'll also be in the show notes. I'm here today with
Ayana Overall, Senior Consultant at Deloitte. Today, we're going to talk about how to recover your child's identity once it's been stolen. Hi, Ayana. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Terilon. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure being on your show.
And it's always a pleasure having your expertise on the show. So we're going to get right in with this topic because I know a lot of parents are concerned with some of them having their kids' identity stolen. So I know when you were here last, we talked about protecting your presence online. But specifically, I want to delve into this topic as far as once a child's identity has been stolen and how to retrieve it. So can you start by letting us know statistically, or is there any evidence out there as far as how often this even happens?
Well, the last statistics around it was between 21 and 2022. So over 915,000 children that were victims of identity theft from July 2021 to July 2022. And with over 67% of those people claiming that they personally knew the perpetrator.
How does this normally happen?
Well, I think in the last conversation, we talked a little bit how, children, they play on these devices online and they put in their username. They create online identities for some of the games they play, and they play with other children, assuming that could be anywhere in the United States or even globally. And so it is sometimes through those games where identity theft is taken from their profiles of those online games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why it's important that, parents monitor the devices that children are on and, what names they're putting on their profile names. It's important to create, not necessarily a profile with the kid's actual name, but, maybe create a gaming name for whatever those devices are that the children are playing on.
Right. Now, is it hard for a kid's identity to get stolen?
I mean, it's basically they find, and the scammers, they're going to find an opening through something that has to do with that child's profile. And so it starts with, getting to know the child via the game. It starts with, their date of birth, their birth date, their home address. And even some of the scammers will even try to ask the kids what their social security number is, while playing the game. And this is really serious, because last year the FTC reported that they received about 23,000 reports of identity theft and 42,000 reports of fraud for people under the age of 19. So it's clear it's a growing problem, but the measures need to be put in place, such as, telling your children not to talk to strangers, going back to the basics. You don't talk to strangers. You don't play with people that you don't know. Only play with people that are your friends that you truly know. And that could be sometimes hard to try to tell the child, because if you're not present and they want to play the game and they want to play the game with someone, if somebody's online available to play with them, they might just, go ahead and play with that person because they just think there's no harm in that. They don't understand the level of risk behind just playing a game with a stranger and talking to them.
I wish there was not even an access to even do that. it's so easy for kids to just play with a stranger online, because the game, I think it just sets you up with random people sometimes. So yes, the parents do need to be diligent with enforcing that with their child.
Caroline, there's one thing I do want to touch back on the original question you asked mm-hmm. me when I said that, the perpetrators or the scammers are 67% of those people are someone they know. Well, also, I meant to add to that, that some of those perpetrators and scammers happen to be the parent themselves.
Wait. The parent of who?
The parent of the child that they're the identity that they're stealing. For
Go ahead.
example, if there's a circumstance where a parent is struggling to pay their bills, like the light bill or the heating system, or if they're under pressure with some type of credit card debt, there are cases when there are parents who have addiction problems and substance abuse, or who may be even trouble with the law, they will go to the level of using their child's identity to get out of whatever financial hardship they're in.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
They will use their child's social security number to open up credit lines to put electric bills in that child's name to pay for whatever utility bills that's in the house. They will put that in their child's name because obviously they have their child's SSN number. So they, it's easy for them to do that. And that's kind of the other area that we don't hear about a lot, right? It's a shocker, but it's true. It's what really happens today is that there's a good percentage of, like I said, 67% of the scammers and perpetrators are usually someone that is very close to the child. And that is usually a parent or someone else of a family member that lives in the household with that child.
Interesting. I guess it could even be like a sibling, like an older sibling.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Okay, so let's go back to, let's say it's a stranger. What could that scenario look like? I'm playing with Henry, and I think Henry's my friend. We're playing Roblox. What kind of information might Henry ask me, which will result in my identity being stolen?
Well, Henry may ask, what is your name? Where do you live?
My name, you know my name, Henry. We play every day.
What is your last name? My last name is such and such. What is your last name? And when is your birthday, Henry? My birthday is December 18th.
I mean, but I don't think some kids will fall for it that easily, just giving out their birthday, right?
Well, see, perpetrators are smart. So you find a way. Remember, these are the perpetrators or the scammers are usually an adult or a teenager. And they know that if you build a rapport with the kid at some point, that kid is going to give up information, right? So if you start building up a rapport and you keep playing with this kid at a certain point every day at a certain time, at some point, that kid is going to start feeling comfortable with you and start to expose and share some personal information just to, feel more comfortable with you, but not understanding there's a threat behind it.
So over time, I'm assuming this grown up will start asking little by little personal information.
However long it takes to get all the information they need, they will go through that extent.
Yeah.
That is correct. Yes.
Now, most kids don't know their social security number. Well, how are
They
they stealing without having their social security number?
don't, but there's people are smart. They might, say, hey, you want to share a big secret? You want me to share a big secret with you? And the kid might be, yeah. I just found out I have a social security number. Do you have one too? I don't know. I have to ask my mom. But wait, no, before you ask her, any scenario can be played. And so that scenario could be as simple as a conversation like that. It could easily flow in that. And that kid could say, it's top secret information. You can't share with anyone. And, if you want to share yours too, that would be great. It's really conniving, and malicious. But, if that kid trusts this person as their friend online and they want to continue to be friends with this other person online, we don't know what extent the child is going to be willing to do to keep that online friendship and to play with this person that they love playing with.
And I think parents also need to know because they think, oh, my kid's not going to talk to a grown up. These grown ups are using voice changers to sound like kids and
Exactly.
handling kids in that way. So parents need to also be aware of that, that that's very
Yes.
prevalent. So let's say a kid's identity has been stolen? How would a parent know? Like, what are the signs?
They'll start getting bills in the mail. They'll start getting all kind of advertisements, marketing materials with the child's name on it. Those are usually the key signs, is, you know, those marketing bills, any type of bill that typically a kid wouldn't have, right? And any type of marketing materials, you know, for anything. Because, you know, once you start signing up for, let's say, a credit card, you're going to start getting all kind of marketing material. Because when you sign up to get a credit card, the small dotted information of information in the credit card disclaimer is that now you've allowed us or opted into allowing our other partners to email you and to send you information. So your name goes into this big database of all their partners. And so then you're going to start getting a slew of either emails or marketing mail because you signed up for that credit card.
Now, if that happens, will it eventually play out and a parent doesn't need to do anything? Let's say they notice their kids getting all this information. Eventually, will all that die down, or does the parent have to do something proactive to retrieve that identity? Like, eventually, will it be figured out that that's not the child's identity?
Well, I would say, you know, if there's a slew of mail coming in within the 30-day period, then that's the sign right there. You shouldn't wait any longer than that. At that point, a parent needs to be proactive, and they need to do certain measures. And that first measure is to get a credit report from the three major credit bureaus: TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. And then look to see if there's anything established, an account that has been established for the child. And if there has been, then put a fraud alert on that child's credit report if a credit file has been created.
Okay. So if a parent waits, they see all this activity and they say, okay, we'll just let it play out. So it's conceivable that a child's credit could be ruined if they don't do anything.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I
mean, you know, it doesn't give a child an opportunity to establish credit when they are of age, because their credit is already being ruined by the perpetrator or the scammer with, you know, whatever bills or collection accounts, whatever has been, you know, garnered up to that point. You know, now it's at risk for this child's credit to be ruined before they can even be of age to use their own credit.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to the Social Security. Now, can a child's identity be stolen and the perpetrator doesn't have their Social Security number?
You really do need to have a Social Security number. Or, yeah, I mean, if you really think about our society today, you really need a Social Security number. There are workarounds where, you know, there are some people who come into the country and they don't have, let's just say, a Social Security number. There are other means, such as maybe a driver's license or some type of ID. But obviously, most kids don't even have that. But really, the biggest perpetration happens with the Social Security number. That's statistically how it's happening, is that someone has provided access to that child's Social Security number in order to open whatever account that has been established. That's the biggest number one element that is used for theft, identity theft for children.
Okay. So once a parent opens the credit report and they check out this on the three major credit bureaus, what do they do next to try to secure their child's identity?
Definitely place a fraud alert or a freeze alert on that credit report. So you want to notify all the three credit bureaus about fraud, place a fraud alert on the child's file. And this will stop anyone from being able to open a new credit file for 90 days or for a year or even 7 years. There's two type of alerts you can have. You can have an alert that's just for 1 year, or you can have an alert for an extended period of time for like 7 years. And then the next step is, you know, you want to make sure you gather all the evidence, gather all the files, put everything together. And then you want to also report it to the Federal Trade Commission. And they have a website where you can go for that. and report identity theft on the FTC website.
Does this all cost money?
No, that is free.
Okay.
That is free. They also have a number that can be used. You can call 877-ID-THEFT and you can speak with someone and they will advise you on the steps to do for that as well.
Okay. So that we can put in the show notes. Is that a streamlined process that, let's say the parent is, I don't know, let's say they're super busy. They don't have time to take all these manual steps. Is there a company like who you mentioned who will do all of this legwork and take the proper steps to try to recover the identity? Or does the parent have to take every manual step to try to recover it? Because I hear it could be an arduous process, at least for adults, from adults' point of view.
Yeah, it can be. There are some credit monitoring services that do provide that service. It just depends on if you have an identity theft shield added to your credit monitoring service. So like some people have LifeLock, and LifeLock provides identity shield protection with their credit monitoring services. So basically, if you wanted to call them, they would do the process for you. But there is some steps involved that a parent would have to do, which is calling the credit bureaus to freeze the credit report as well as put a fraud alert on there. And then they will continue to guide you through the rest of those steps.
And I'm assuming it's easier to recover the identity of the child rather than adult. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I wouldn't say easier. It's pretty much the same level as if it were a child or an adult. It's still the same measures and impact on both sides. So it's just following the same measures to recover from it, which is, you know, reporting fraud, reporting fraud alerts with the credit bureaus, reporting to the FTC, checking to see if there's a credit report file that has been created for that child and if there's any accounts on there and reporting those. And then the other step would be also to file a police report. So that would be part of the process in all of this is filing a police report. And because the FTC is going to ask you if you have filed a police report, and that's probably going to be one of the things they recommend that you do as well. So you do want to file a police report and have that recorded, and they will ask you for that information as well.
Okay. Is the first step, once you get all this marketing, to check with the three credit bureaus, you see, okay, there's a lot of credit on my kid's account. Then do you file a local police report from there? Like what would you advise like the steps? Like if we had to write this out for someone?
Yeah. I mean, you know, step one is, you know, get the credit report. Check to see if there's an online file that has been created. If it has been created, then you want to place a fraud alert or a credit freeze on the child's file. Once you have done that and you've gathered the statistics, once you've gathered the details of what has happened, meaning you've wrote down on paper to say, okay, I noticed that my child had an account open with these accounts and these creditors, then you now place the credit alert and the fraud alert on that credit file with the three credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, Equifax. Now you have all that information. And so now you can call the Federal Trade Commission by dialing that 877 ID theft number. And or you can also report the theft online at identitytheft.gov. So if you want to call, it doesn't matter what time of day you call. I think they're from like maybe 8 till maybe 6 or 7 p.m. And there's usually an advisor who will pick up. The wait time is very low. And then, like I said, also you can go online to identitytheft.gov. And then once you file that, they're going to give you a report number. They're going to ask you a series of questions. And I'm not familiar with all what those questions are, but they're going to ask you a series of questions like, you know, when did it happen? What did you discover? You know, your typical investigative type of questions. And so And whatever you want, whatever those questions are, you just want to make sure you can answer those questions to the best of your ability. Even if you don't have all the answers, if there's things that you just don't know, that's fine. They're going to take whatever information you can give them to help move the process along. And so afterwards, they're going to give you an official report that you will keep that will have a number, and then go from there. The last part is you definitely, if you find that the child has specific accounts on their credit and you don't have a identity theft legal shield company to do the work for you, then you want to contact those companies that you see where your child's identity theft has been used. You want to contact those organizations, explain to them that your child has been in a case of identity theft, and you want to show them evidence of the fraudulent accounts and transactions and debit cards, and you want them to reverse those charges. And you want to also give them a copy of your FTC report. You want to also give them a copy of the police report. Once you do all of those things, they will immediately reverse those charges off your child's account. But you have to provide the evidence that you filed a police report and that you have an FTC report filed with the Federal Trade Commission.
It's a lot of work, like even you saying that, because I've heard of adults having their identity stolen, and it's a very frustrating process.
It is.
Probably even more frustrating because the adult is probably affecting certain things like their job or maybe credit or something they're trying to purchase. I mean, at least from the child's point of view, they're probably not trying to make any purchases under their name, but their credit is being ruined. So yeah, it is important for the parent to act immediately if they do suspect this.
Absolutely.
And do you know how long the process typically takes?
It could take 3 months. It could take 6 months. It could take a year. It really depends on, you know, how much credit was established in the child's name and how consistent you are as a parent to keep up on the activities of the work that needs to be done based on the steps I mentioned to clear it all up. You have to be consistent in following up and making sure that, okay, yes, I sent company X information about my child's identity theft. I sent them a copy of the police report. I sent them a copy of the FTC case number. And you want to make sure that that company sends you a letter or a fax or an email that says, yes, this account has been closed. It will not be charged against my child because it is proof to show that it's a fraudulent account. So you have to go through that process to receive a document from the organization that claims that your child opened this account. You want to make sure you receive a receipt of that that says that your child has been relinquished from this debt that they didn't accumulate.
Now, does any of this ever go back to the perpetrator and they're held accountable for this?
I mean, only if you truly know who the perpetrator is.
Right.
You know, a lot of times they just find their next victim and they just keep moving. You know, people do this for a living. This is their lifestyle.
Right. They're career criminals.
Yeah. I mean, the key thing you want to do is teach your child not to share personal information like their full name, their birth date, their home address, or their phone number. And then also you want to warn them about keeping their social security number, or even if they have an ID, especially with teenagers. You know, you don't want your teenagers carrying their social security card or their driver's license with them everywhere they go.
I mean, I don't think they need to have it at all.
Well, I remember that my mom didn't give me my social security card until I was 18. And so
yeah,
she,
I think I was an adult as well.
Yeah. And she told me to keep your social security card at home and only bring it out if, you know, for employment purposes, because, you know, your employer needs to see your social security card when you apply for a new job. So she said to always keep it safe at home, so you know where it's at. And then only bring it out when you need to show, you know, your new employer, you know, this information.
Mm, yeah. So when will the parent know that this identity theft has been cleared up? Like what signs, like what would be in peace with this?
Yeah. So once once you see on the credit report that those accounts were fraud, once you've received confirmation from those organizations where those accounts were open up at, that those accounts, that those companies have cleared that debt of any obligation to your child. Once you receive a letter or some type of documentation that says that your child is clear of any obligations of that debt. And then the last thing is, you know, just making sure that whatever artifacts like social security number or driver's license, things of that nature, or even ID, last thing is teaching your child not to give that information out.
Right. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Ayanna, for being here today. Where can people find you if they want to know about you and just the services that you provide?
They can go to our website at mynewlifecredit.com.
Thanks for listening to Time Out with Tinseltown Mom. If you're enjoying the show, please consider leaving a positive review on Apple. I want to get this podcast in front of a wider audience, so any encouraging words you can leave will be so helpful. If not, just continue enjoying the show. Until next time.